10 or 15 years ago, I was watching an ABC News special reported by John Quinones about a guy who called himself John of God. He was a guy who was kind of a faith healer type in South America. And people came from all over the world to go to this guy to get the miracle cures. And they had video of him when Quinones went there to interview him and talk to some of his followers. And they had video of this guy doing things that I could recognize as simple carny tricks. Like, for instance, taking forceps and putting them up somebody's nose and then pulling out something that he said was a tumor. And, oh, he was removing a tumor from their sinuses or from their brain and curing them that way. They were rather obviously magic tricks, some of them very well done, but almost every one of them was something I had seen done by magicians or carnival sideshow people at various times in my life. That did not stop Quinones from telling this story in a completely biased way, biased towards John of God, as if what he was telling his followers, the people who came to see him and paid him lots of money, what he was telling them, despite it being nonsense, they believed, and Quinones believed. There was only one moment of skepticism in the show, and that was provided by my friend James Randi, who appeared in a segment that was less than 30 seconds long, even though ABC News had flown Randi from his home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to New York to sit in a room and watch some videotape of John of God at work. And he, of course, more of an expert on this than I will ever be, also recognized that these were simple carny stunts that this guy was pulling, and he was fooling people, and he was hurting people who were truly ill, but had fallen for this new age faith healer hokum. Now, the reason I mention it today is because another, quote, expert was interviewed on that show. And that, quote, expert, unquote, was Dr. Mehmet Oz, better known as Dr. Oz. And I was shocked to see this man, who's a cardiothoracic surgeon at a major hospital in New York City, and a good one from what I understand, falling for John of God's BS and saying so on screen. I learned later that Dr. Oz also believed in other non-science, like therapeutic touch, and other things that, again, are harmful to people because instead of getting real medical help, they're falling for hokum. Well, you can imagine, after seeing that and hearing more about him, how upset I was when Oprah started having Dr. Oz on the show to spew some of this sort of stuff. He gave some real medical advice, but more often than not, it was this new-agey kind of alternative medicine garbage. And as I pointed out many, many times, alternative medicine that works is called medicine, without the alternative before it. Well then, after Oprah had him on many, many times, and he was popular with Oprah's believing audience, Dr. Oz, of course, got his own show produced by Oprah's production company, and it still runs today, a daily show, which he produces, in addition to continuing to run his practice at this hospital in New York. Well, now, Julia Belews and Stephen J. Hoffman have written a piece on Slate.com about Dr. Oz and something that he's been telling his viewers to take recently to lose weight. Their piece for Slate is called Dr. Oz's Miracle Diet Advice is Malarkey, a word borrowed, obviously, from Joe Biden in the presidential debates this year. I think malarkey is a very mild word to be using for the sort of nonsense that Dr. Oz spews on a regular basis. But I've asked Julia to join me here today to talk a little bit about it. Hi, Julia. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And as you can tell, I am a skeptic.
Yes, what a fantastic introduction. I wish we knew about the John of God anecdote when we were writing the piece. That's so interesting.
If you can ever find the video of it on YouTube, I have not been able to myself, but if it is ever out there, and it's not on the ABC News website anymore either, but if you can ever see it, you will see how harmful that can be to people who, again, who are really, really in need of real science and real medicine and are being conned by this guy for his own personal gain. Now, let's talk specifically about Dr. Mehmet Oz and what you have discovered and written about in your piece.
Yeah, so I guess it came to light through just talking to members of the physician community here in Canada who were telling me that they had patients coming into their offices or their clinics on shopping carts full of supplements, and when they would ask them why they were taking these pills, the answer was very often, because I heard about it on Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz said it would help prevent cancer, or would help with weight loss, or just any number of claims that these miracle supplements were supposed to help them with their health. And so I started to look into it, and I was amazed to see that there was this community of skeptics that had emerged online, many of them MDs themselves, who were kind of debunking the claims that were made on the show. And I was familiar with the show just through family members and friends who watch him, and conversation that often comes up, like, you know, I heard about this on Dr. Oz, so I'm going to try this supplement for weight loss, or I'm going to try eating in a certain way. And my academic colleague, Stephen Hoffman, who I co-wrote the piece with, he was interested in this, the incredible influence celebrities have on our health decisions. Even though they don't know us, they're often conflicted. They often have conflicts of interest we don't even know about, and yet we just kind of blindly follow their advice without any skepticism, as you pointed out. So we started to look into it and to watch the show and look at some of the evidence for the claims that he was making, and we found very often the best available research evidence was stacked unequivocally against the health claims that he made on the show.
I want to just stop you for a second, because when we talk about celebrity endorsements, there's a difference between a celebrity endorsement and a medical professional's endorsement.
Dr.
Oz crosses over because he became a celebrity thanks to Oprah, and now he has his own TV show, so he qualifies, I guess, in some realm as a celebrity. But the fact that he has doctor before his name does one thing to people's perceptions, and the other is he appears on TV in medical garb, and he surrounds himself with people who are either in scrubs or in white lab coats, and it adds an air of authenticity to what's happening there, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and you just touched on what makes him such a fascinating example and why we wanted to write about him, because he isn't just a celebrity. He is this very qualified health professional, and he has all the credentials to kind of make you think that he's someone you can trust. You know, the Harvard and UPenn pedigree, and he's a professor in surgery at Columbia, a board-certified cardiothoracic surgeon. There's every reason you should be able to trust him, and yet when you actually look at the evidence for the claims that he makes, there are some pretty dubious claims, and that raises the question of why we take advice from people who aren't our own health professionals at all. And I guess you could say that our doctors are conflicted in many ways themselves. There's well-documented conflicts with pharmaceutical companies and whatnot, but I think at least they know your medical history. They're not just kind of strangers.
But they're also pressured by their patients. I've talked to MDs about this. They feel pressure from their patients. You know, all of these drug company ads, Big Pharma puts these ads on, ask your doctor about this, ask your doctor about that. And you take that up to another level when a doctor like Dr. Oz is on TV saying, you should take this. If that patient does go to their regular physician and say, I want a prescription for this, and by the way, most of this is not by prescription, it's usually supplements and health food stuff that doesn't really do anything. But if somebody goes to the doctor and says, this is what I want, in many cases, doctors aren't going to fight them on that. They just don't have time, do they?
That's right. And they don't have time to go over all of the evidence with them or to search for it and explain it. And I think it's a public health problem. And it's not only a public health problem, but it damages the public purse and people's own wallets, right? Like, they go out and spend money on these supplements and these other miracle cures that have absolutely no evidence supporting them.
Julia, do you know of any evidence showing a conflict of interest of Dr. Oz having any financial interest in some of the things he's recommending people take?
there was evidence of indirect. He has this website that he's a scientific advisor on a website that's indirectly supported by pharmaceutical companies. And the website's called realage.com, and you're supposed to go on there and give all of this information about your health and personal information, and then that data is sold to pharmaceutical companies. But in terms of his motivation for it, we didn't find evidence of those conflicts. I think the reason he gave us for why he sells this stuff on the show was that he said that in order to stay on the show, you need to have magic and miracles. You can't just have kind of meat and potatoes health advice every day, or else no one would watch the show. And so that speaks to this conflict between science and kind of the scientific method, and science moving along incrementally and slowly, and the need for magic and miracles to have a kind of daily health show, right? There's a kind of tension there, and I think he's in a unique place, and he's obviously aware of evidence-based medicine and of the importance of using good research evidence to make health claims. And so you would kind of expect more from him than what we found here.
It's the Big 550 KTRS, talking with Julia Belews, who's a co-author with Stephen J. Hoffman of an investigative piece that's on Slate.com today, about Dr. Oz, Dr. Mehmet Oz, the guy with his own daily TV show in which he dispenses medical advice and particularly a lot of diet advice. Their piece is called Dr. Oz's Miracle Diet Advice is Malarkey. And I want to talk about the diet advice in particular here for a moment, Julia, because as I mentioned before the break, magic and miracles are words that should not show up in a scientist's mouth unless he's debunking them or telling you not to believe those things when they're promised to you. But in many cases, what he gives out as diet advice falls in with what Americans want. You know, there's really a four-word prescription for how you lose weight. Eat less, exercise more. But those four words are too many words for Americans who want to have a two-word solution, and they want that solution to be take pill. Right?
Absolutely, yeah, very well put.
So Dr. Oz says, okay, here's a pill.
That's it, yeah. And I think what we were talking about before, kind of giving this tendency to want, yeah, magic cures, and the fact that that's what sells TV and that's what attracts viewers in Dr. Oz's mind, I guess. That's what he said, that he couldn't have the kind of boring health advice, the stuff that he actually lives by. That was actually another interesting point that came out in researching him. In a New York Times profile, the journalist at the Times followed him around and found that he kind of lives by this monastic regime of eating berries and nuts and barely any food at all, it seemed like, just kind of snacks throughout the day and exercising religiously. He doesn't rely on magic pills himself, yet he tells Americans every day that they can take these kind of, he describes them as holy grail, the holy grail of weight loss, these fat busters that you could buy at health food stores, and that they can take these pills alone and do nothing else and still lose weight. And it's incredible. And we found that when you actually look at the evidence, again, most of these things are no better than placebo, or they've only been tested in animals or cells. They haven't even been tested in humans.
You quote Oz in your piece talking about a pill that would, quote, burn fat without spending every waking moment exercising and dieting and even combat emotional eating.
Mm-hmm.
And you say he peppers his excitement with some caution. Quote, please listen carefully. I don't sell the stuff. I don't make any money on this. I'm not going to mention any brands to you. I don't want you conned, unquote. But that's, yep, what he's doing, isn't it?
Exactly, yep. People are conned. And you just hear, as soon as he mentions one of these supplements on the show, as he said himself and as his PR man told us, they wake up the next morning to Google alerts telling them that Dr. Oz, all these websites have been put up saying Dr. Oz endorses this supplement, and his face goes on placards in health food stores. And, you know, he just has this incredible influence. It's been called the Oz effect, because as soon as he mentions a product or a treatment, people go out and buy it. I think he inherited that Midas touch from Oprah. But it's a lot more damaging when you're, you know, Oprah was telling people what jeans would make their butt look the perkiest, but Oz is dealing something that's much more grave, right? It's dealing with people's health.
You mentioned in the article that Oz at one point quotes a study that shows people lost 17 pounds in 22 weeks by doing absolutely nothing but taking one of his miracle pills.
Mm-hmm.
But you looked at the study and found that perhaps he was being a little deceptive in his description, right?
Yeah. That was the green coffee bean study, and we found that it was actually supported by manufacturers of those pills, which raises immediate, if you're kind of an evidence-based medicine guru, you'd know that that would raise alarm bells about the actual quality of the study. It was also a very small study, so it wouldn't be, I think it only involved 16 people, and it had other methodological limitations. And so even on the air, Dr. Oz says he himself is skeptical, so then to ease his mind, he ends up conducting his own experiment, and it involves giving the pills to just two audience members for 5 days only and seeing what would happen. And again, you're a skeptic, so you probably know that that wouldn't qualify as a study, just, you know, giving pills to two people. They know that they're going to have to announce their weight on TV.
Yep.
And then they end up losing a few pounds, and he says that, well, this is convincing evidence that green coffee bean pills work for weight loss. But again, that anyone who's aware of evidence-based medicine, in particular a doctor like Oz, should know that that isn't enough evidence to suggest that they're effective.
That is anecdotal evidence, which is the same as no evidence at all.
More or less. That's right.
Since you published this story, Julia, you actually talked to somebody in Oz's office. You said his PR representative said answers to some of your questions or refutations of some of the things. What's the general response been from other people? Have there been Oz supporters who have rushed to his defense against you?
I've only received a couple of emails from supporters who were upset by the article and felt that it was an attack on a kind man. And they're people that I hope to follow up with and understand why they follow the advice of this guy, because those are actually the people we're hoping to reach. Unfortunately, most of the response has been for, I guess, preaching to the converted, so skeptics like yourself who are quite aware of the problems of celebrity-based medicine and maybe who already saw Dr. Oz as someone who is peddling pseudoscience. But I'd love to have interactions and discourse with people who are Oz fans and understand why they follow his advice and why they take his health advice over the advice of their own physicians or health professionals who know them.
Or who hear us talking about this in a mainstream outlet like KTRS and say, okay, maybe I should ask for evidence before I just believe something somebody says on TV. I bet most of these people wouldn't even buy one of those late-night mops that gets sold on infomercials at 2 o'clock in the morning. They wouldn't buy that because they wouldn't believe it really cleans as well as it says it does. But if Dr. Oz at 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon says this is a miracle pill that will help you lose weight without exercising or changing your diet at all, they'll go out and they'll buy that with no skepticism whatsoever.
That's right. And I think that's what makes us human, right? We want, it's a confirmatory bias. We seek out information that confirms our own biases and things we want to hear. And Dr. Oz is this incredibly charming, good-looking, credentialed person, so why wouldn't you believe him, and especially when he's telling us something we want to hear? But what we hope to get across in the article is that, as you said, not all evidence is equal. So, you want to ask about what evidence is supporting claims that you hear, especially when it has to do with your health, and that someone who knows the science and who knows our medical history and someone who can consider our priorities and our values, like our own primary care physician, is probably better positioned to advise us about our health than a celebrity or even a celebrity doctor like Dr. Oz.
Absolutely right. Well, Julia, I hope that other media outlets will pick this up. Unfortunately, skepticism is in too many instances an uphill battle, because you've got the world of the believers in nonsense promoted by people like Oprah, who people for some reason decided long ago they were going to trust. And so if she endorses somebody, then whatever that person endorses, by extension, we can trust. And we've learned many times that that is not the case. But here's a guy who's got a nationally syndicated daytime TV show. He's got newspaper columns. He's got magazines. He's a professor of other surgeons, of other doctors at Columbia University. I would hope he's not passing along this nonsense to them in the guise of a medical education. But it is an uphill battle, and any time we can take a step up that hill, I want to give it as much exposure as I can. So I'm glad we could talk about this here today.
That's right. And when something sounds too good to be true, it's important to remember that it probably is. That's one simple rule that we can all live by.
Absolutely. I'm going to put a link to your article on my Twitter feed at Paul Harris Show, and also on my website, which you can get to by clicking the Paul Harris page of KTRS.com. Julia Belews, thanks to you and Stephen J. Hoffman for your work on this.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.